Well, it's been a great summer so far. A lot of activity going on around in my family. Been taking vacations and whatnot, visiting family. I'm sure you all have been doing very similar things. One of the things I love about the summer is that I have this awesome opportunity to catch up on all the movies I haven't watched due to my studies and homework. Specifically, classic movies. I love old movies. Because of how they kind of transport you and how they make you feel. For instance, if I want to feel like a kid again, I watch Singing in the Rain. I grew up loving that movie. I find myself, dancing a little bit when he's dancing in the rain. I love that one. If I want to feel macho, feel like a tough guy, I watch Rio Bravo or anything with John Wayne in it. But if I want to feel like a real man, like my father, just a real man, I watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I love that movie. It's kind of cliche to watch it every Christmas. I try to watch it more than that, just not on Christmas. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the movie, but for those who are not, it's about a man named George Bailey. And he is a good man. He is a servant of the people. He is selfless and always puts others first. And his whole life, he lives according to that, putting others first and him second. And it's a wonderful story, but as he goes throughout his life, bad things are happening to him, and he keeps moving forward, doing what he knows best, and putting others before him. Until finally, when all the things are crumbling down, things get hopeless, he is at the end of his rope. His company is coming under foreclosure. Some money was stolen. And things just look absolutely hopeless. And he finally has to learn that to trust, and it's a power greater than him, that there is a plan in place and something good will come of what he's been doing his whole life. And it ends, and everyone's crying, including myself. Tonight I want to talk about that idea that faith in God, means trusting in the fullness of his plan. And before we turn to our text today, let's open with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the day you have given us. Thank you for the many blessings you bestow on us as we go throughout our lives living for you. And I pray now that every word that is spoken here that is breathed of you, I pray that you get the speaker out of the way and that everything is said just is your word, Father. I pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. There the soldier stood in the eerie night. The silence was still. Everything was calm, and anticipation was in the air. There the soldier and his fellow men stood looking out over this valley full of soldiers, numbering as many as the locusts in the field. Over 100,000 men were encamped in this valley. And here he stood, this soldier, and his 100 men, about to fight this army. Hopeless, it seemed. Things seemed dire. How could 100 men, with his other fellows spread out, totaling 300 total, this army, how could they fight against 100,000 men and win? Things seemed hopeless. Things might have been better if they had the right tools, the right weapons, sword and a shield and a spear. But instead of that, they had a very unlikely set of tools. Backtrack a little bit, back in the time of the judges and of Israel. What is going on that time? The nation of Israel is living in a time before the kings, before they had a ruler leading them. And in times of the judges that guided them in the ways of God. But in between the times of in between each judge, the people began to fall into the things of their own ways. They began to do things that was good in their own eyes. And just like any of us left to our own devices, they began to fail. They began to mess up. And they acted wickedly. Until one day, God judged them and sent the Midianites. The mighty, the powerful, and the brutal Midianites to oppress the nation of Israel. And they did for many years. Until Israel saw their how they wronged God and cried out for him to send a deliverer. God did send a deliverer, and his name was Gideon. And we find his story in the seventh chapter of Judges. Before we read, let me put you in the place of what's going through Gideon's mind at the time. God has called him to deliver the people from the hand of the Midianites. So Gideon rounds up the army, rounds up many men who are willing and able, and it numbers in the number of 32,000 men. A great army. They're willing, they're strong, they're powerful, and they're willing to go and fight against the Midianites. Verse 1, chapter 7 says, "Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod. So the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, My own hand has saved me.'" What's going through Gideon's mind as he's looking over this great army that he's amassed to go take against the Midianites? God has come to him and said, "You have too many soldiers." Already he has not near enough to fight this army, and now God's coming to him and saying, "You have too many." So, obedient and trusting and having immense faith in God, Gideon begins to whittle out the crowd. He says, "If you are too scared or you want to go home and be with your families, go now." And probably shocked, Gideon watches as most of his army leaves. They leave right then, and he is left with 1,000 men. 1,000 men. What a test God is giving Gideon. Later on, there are 1,000 men. They're strong, they're still able, and they're still, you know, good, proud of the, you know, strong in their mind. And they're traveling to the battlefield to go. And God tells Gideon again, "You still have too many men. You still are too reliant on yourselves." And so Gideon, trusting God, hoping that there is a plan in place, he puts a test before his men, says, "Men, it's been a long journey. Here's a river. Let's go drink." And probably after a long day journey, most of the men rush down, fall on their bellies, and start getting the water into their... and just drinking it as fast as they could. A few, though, knelt down and with their hand began to drink the water. God came to Gideon and said, "Those men who knelt down, that's your army." That was 300 men. Gideon was left with 300 to fight this great battle, and it seemed hopeless. What God was doing was trying to show Gideon that it was of his power and not of a major army that would win this fight. It was of God's purpose and God's plan that would deliver them from the Midianites. Even further, God commanded Gideon to give the men a unique set of tools to win this battle with. Instead of the common sword and shield and spear to fight a battle with, Gideon's army was given a clay pot, a torch, and a trumpet to somehow defeat this great army with. And even more so, he split the army up into three sections. So three 100 men groups surrounded the Midianites. How on earth would they were going to win this battle? But trusting in God was getting them through. And then that came that moment. There that soldier stood, anticipation filling the air. The night was still. The Midianites were asleep in their camp. And then he heard the sound, the crashing, the trumpets, the torches coming to light, and the voices of the Israelites shouting, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon! The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" And before then, the next thing they knew, the Midianites were rushing about, confused, attacking each other, and they fled from the sight of Israel. God had worked a great miracle in front of Gideon's eyes. 300 men up against 100,000. And it was the Lord's hand that delivered them that day. The sword of the Lord. God's purpose in that was to show Gideon that it was of God's power, of His hand, and out of the people's. For too long they lived doing things that was right in their own eyes, that was good for them. And God had to show them, you must live by my ways and not your own. We live in a day and time that's similar to Gideon's time. Back then, they longed for the coming of the Messiah. We live in a time where now we do live where the Messiah has come and He has brought hope to us, but we also look forward to His coming again. We live in a time of persecution. We live in a modern-day battlefield where the name Christian is hated by many. We live in a time where people shout for tolerance, except for those Christians. Being a Christian in today's time is hard. But Jesus gave us a command. He gave us a charge, if you will. And that charge is to go ye therefore and spread the word of God to all the nations. We're called to be salt and light. The nature of salt and light is the salt must be in contact with the thing it's preserving. Light must shine in the darkness. It can't just be on the proximity. It has to be within the darkness. We're called to be salt and light. We're to go and spread the gospel. Doing that's not an easy thing. Because today we're told that our tools are technology. We have the media. We have great ways of proclaiming the word over great distances and over many people. Millions can hear our words at one time. And it's easy to get lost in that. To get lost in these tools that we have developed that can spread the word over great distances. But God gave us a tool, and that is His word. We're to use that word and go, instead of getting lost in our own devices, go across the street to our neighbor and witness to him. Instead of relying on the things of our own power, we must rely on God's word and the Spirit to move among people. We must trust in His guidance to see us through. The battlefield lies ahead of us. We must do this faithfully, trusting in the hope that lies ahead, that Christ is coming once again, and is going to have us give an account of our spreading of His word. Gideon had a full plate. He had a lot of trust he had to place in God's plan. But we're all called to put our faith in God and trust in the fullness of His plan. Because one day, if we put our full trust in Him, we will be rewarded for our faithfulness. The road is rocky, but there is a good end in sight. And it is Christ. We have a responsibility to God, and as to serve faithfully in to our neighbors, to our community, and to our nation, to serve faithfully to God and spread the gospel to those who haven't heard, and we're to remain faithful to the fullness of His plan. It's easy to get caught up in our own strength and our own abilities. The real challenge is to put our sole faith and trust in a God who will provide and who will see us through to the end. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we ask for Your guidance. We pray for Your hand of leadership and power to help us to spread the gospel in a land that rejects us actively. But we know that with our faith and trust in Your power, that You will lead us and that Your word will be heard. We thank You for the blessings You have shown us and the love You have poured out on us who didn't deserve the grace You bestowed on us. But we are in awe and thankful for the mercy You have shown to us. And help us to spread that to those who haven't heard. Help us to show others the mercy You have given to us. And help us now as we go out and to serve You and to serve You faithfully. And these things I pray in Your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.